Amen. Submission. Submit. How many of you like that word? What? When you hear that word, do you cringe sometimes? Yeah, probably. Here's a question, why? Well, probably because maybe it's been used by some people for abuse, or used by people simply to get their way, to always say, you know what, I'm in charge, right? This word, this idea of submission runs contrary to our American culture, doesn't it? And think about it. Our American culture is all about defending our personal rights. It's all about being able to, what, secure and maintain those privileges that I've earned, or at least I have. I'm not going to give them up to anybody, to anyone. Some of us here, if we're honest, honest with ourselves, we probably will never admit this to other people, but if we're honest with ourselves, we may hold some of those same values. You know, for some people, the word submit is a four-letter word, even though it actually has six letters in it. We think often of submission. We hear that word and we think it reinforces the power of those who already have too much power in our mind. Or maybe it keeps the powerless in submission. It keeps them subordinate to other people. And you know what? For those who don't understand, who don't know the idea, this idea of submit from God's perspective, that is actually true. And we kind of are fearful of that word submit. But this morning, as we look at it from God's perspective, I think that we can have a different view of it. As we continue on this journey as a church of what it means to live for one another, we're going to look this morning at this kind of come face to face in this command to submit to one another. Submit to one another. Now, if you've been coming to church here regularly, maybe the last couple months we've been going through this series, and maybe you've been here quite a bit. I know some of you listen to it online. Actually, this idea of submission shouldn't necessarily surprise you. Think about some of our other messages. Serve one another. Love one another. Accept one another. Carry the burdens of others. Bear with one another. If you think of each one of those, there is an idea. There's actually an underlying truth that to do any of those, you must submit yourself, right? What this idea of submission, where does it come from? Well, one of the passages we're going to look at this morning is from Ephesians 5:21. And it's the beginning of a whole section on this idea of submit. But turn with me, if you haven't already, to Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 21. And it's a small little verse, but it says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This verse is a prelude to a larger section talking about this idea of submission. It talks about family. It talks about really society as a whole. And we're going to look at these two sections of this small verse, and we'll look at some other passages that relate. We're going to look, first of all, at what is the definition? What does it mean to submit? And then we're going to look at why. Why would I even want to submit? As we look at the greatest example of Christ. Because Christ is a big reason of why we're called to submit. But this word submission, this word submit, what does it mean? It literally means to arrange or assign under. To arrange or assign under something. To submit is basically to consciously determine to humble myself and put others above myself. You've probably heard that before. It's kind of a Christian idea, isn't it? It's pretty radical, though, in our culture. For some of us, probably for all of us, it's a pretty difficult thing to do. And yet we're going to see that part of submitting, this idea of submitting to one another, is not only radical, it really is, but it's also very relevant. It's relevant to us as followers of Christ. But as we see how Paul starts out this section of submission, we need to see here that it's ultimately a command for everyone. Did you notice that? Submit to one another. If you're part of the body of Christ, you are one of those one another. Submit to one another. Author Stephen Beck tells about a day that he was driving down the country road and he was going to a meeting. And as he was driving, he shares this. I came to a very narrow bridge, and on this bridge was posted a sign, yield. And so I stopped, he said. And seeing no cars coming, I continued to cross the bridge and went to my destination. On the way back, I came back over that same one-lane bridge. And there on that side, I saw another sign that said, yield. That's kind of strange. I thought the yield sign was over there. When he reached the other side, he looked back, and sure enough, there was a yield sign on the other side of the bridge as well. Drivers from both directions were requested to give the right-of-way to the other one. He says, it's a reasonable and gracious way of preventing a head-on collision. And I believe that that's kind of what this verse is that Paul gives us. It's the same idea of God's command to submit to one another. It's for all of us, and it's a reasonable and gracious command to help us from colliding with one another. Whether that's in your marriage, whether it's in your family, whether it's at work, whether it's in the church. Submission is a calling of every Christian. It's for all in Christ's church. And actually, as Paul writes this, I believe it shocked a lot of people, especially those who are maybe in a more authoritative position. But as we'll see throughout Scripture this morning, you're going to see that those of us who are maybe in some positions of authority that God has placed us in are also called to submit to one another, to be subject at times to those who are subordinate, as well as those who maybe are in a subordinate position are also called to submit. But as we look at this idea, this truth of submission, something we need to understand is that submission is a choice. It's a choice that each of us have to make. You see, submitting to one another cannot be demanded by somebody else. Now, it can, but it's not something that God's word calls that way. It's interesting. Submission is always a choice on my part. It's something that's freely given. Now, if you look at it from a secular worldview, or if you look at it from a non-biblical worldview, they think, well, the only time you submit is when somebody commands you, demands you to do it, right? Your boss says, you're going to do this or else. So you give in. But that's why this biblical description of submission is so radical. It's so relevant to who we are as worshipers and followers of Jesus. As we'll see in a few minutes, we are to submit to one another out of worship, out of reverence for Christ. Why do we do it? Not because somebody else says it, because Jesus says it, because we worship and follow Christ. So submitting, yielding to anyone is a choice that you and I make. And it's interesting, we obey this command based upon whatever position that we are in, that we occupy, because all of us have different positions that we're in. Though this command to submit to one another, it's universal, right? It's a universal command to every single one of us, right? Submit to one another, but it's also particular. The application is particular to right where you are at particular times. See, Paul continues in Ephesians 5 and chapter 6. I encourage you to read that this week. And he says to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, sacrificing yourself for her. Wives, as you submit, you do it out of respect and honor your husbands as you do that. Fathers are to instruct and discipline their children. Children are to obey their parents. And he goes and he says, masters are to be fair to their slaves. Slaves are to be serving their masters from the heart. Interesting, he says, from the heart. As you look at some of those, I kind of looked at that. One author said, it's interesting that the greater responsibility seems to be imposed on those who have greater authority or greater responsibility. Something to think about. You know, something that happens when we understand the heart, when we understand the truth of submission, is that submitting to one another can correct the natural abuses that happen without abolishing the order, the social order itself. In other words, God, as we see in His Word, has given different authority to different people. But submission, mutual submission, helps to alleviate the abuse that can often happen. Mutual submission requires all of us, wherever we are in the social, to hold our natural inclination, which is selfishness, to hold it in check. To have this idea of the best interest of others, that it's not all about me, right? We're going to see that powerfully here in the life of Christ here in a few moments. All of us have different roles. You have different roles in your family, different roles at work, in society, at church, right? All of these, we're called to submit to one another. And it's not because of a hierarchy, but rather because ultimately of who we are in Christ, because of our honor and reverence for Jesus. Ultimately, we see that submitting is a hard thing to do. Would you all admit that submitting is a hard thing to do? How many of you think submitting is easy? I want to see some hands. Dang, I was hoping I'd get one. Right? Submission is hard. We see that evidence everywhere in our society, don't we? We see it in marriages. Marriages that end in divorce because the husband and wife refuse to love and serve one another. We see parents who neglect, even abuse their children. We see children who rebel against their parents. We see employers who use their position to simply advance their own self-interests, to gain more money simply for themselves, not caring about their employees. But we also see employees who complain and undermine the authority of their employers and choose not to work to the best of their abilities. We see it in the church, some churches, maybe even sometimes in our own church. We see pastors who fail to execute their responsibilities faithfully, who maybe play favorites with certain people or get defensive when others are critical. And church attenders sometimes expect to be entertained. You know, how come we don't sing more hymns? How come we don't sing more choruses? How come we don't have more banjo? Right, Dale? We need more banjo. We want to be entertained. We want it our way. We refuse to volunteer because somebody else should do it. I don't have time to do it. I don't want to do it. All these different things. We can criticize those who make decisions because we don't know all the facts. And the list goes on in all kinds of different areas. And we always suffer when people fail to fulfill the roles assigned to them, the roles that God has given to them, defined according to His word that He's placed on us to do. And usually this happens for one of three reasons, usually actually a combination of these three reasons. One is selfishness. Second is insecurity, and third is confusion about this whole idea of submission. I mean, the first one's pretty obvious. We're not going to submit if we're selfish. The truth is, we all are naturally selfish, right? That's part of our sinful nature. We all are selfish, just the way it is. But by God's Spirit, by having Christ in our life, we can learn what it means to submit, first of all, to Him, and then even to one another. It's a radical idea of whatever position you're in to actually be willing to submit to others. If we look to the interests of others, then this command will not be as hard as we think it is. And we'll see actually the benefit of submitting one to another. We'll realize, as we've been saying, kind of a theme, it's not all about me. It's about we. Oh, one person got it. Thank you. I don't know who that was. Is that Mike? I don't know. Somebody's been listening. It's not about me. It's about we, or if you want to be, you know, correct in your language, us, but I like we, it rhymes with me, it helps me to remember it. You know, for others, the abuse of authority comes from an insecurity, right? All of us kind of have insecurity within ourselves, and we can mask our insecurity how? By becoming dominant, by saying, I always want to get my way. What I say is most important. And sometimes some of us use that, men and women, it's not one of, as a dominant thing. You know what? I'm going to get my way. And it helps us with our insecurity. For many, especially those in positions of authority, like husbands, parents, employers, sometimes we have a confusion of why God has given us that authority. And we think that, well, if I'm in authority, that means I'm in charge. That means I get to do whatever I want. It's not what the Bible says. Some of us, unfortunately, get in trouble when we have that attitude. And maybe some of us haven't had great role models. Maybe we didn't have great role models as parents or from an employer or from a pastor or whatever it may be. But to be able to submit to one another, we need to have a scriptural teaching, a clear scriptural teaching regarding this idea of submitting, of submission. See, submission is not just a command, as we maybe sometimes say, of to wives or to children or to employees. It is actually for all members of the body of Christ. And so we need to realize that it is possible, even probable, that husbands can submit to their wives at times, and that parents can submit to their children, and that church leaders can submit to the church body at different times. The key is to develop a mindset and the example of Christ. And we'll get to that here real quick. But let me share with you some passages that actually talk about submitting one to another. And again, some of them use the word submit. Others don't, but if you look at them, that's the underlying truth behind them. We don't have time to go into all these scriptures. So if you want them, you can write them down. Or some people like getting my notes. I can send that to you. Or you can listen online or whatever. But we're just going to kind of look at the truth behind it, not necessarily look at every scripture. But our main passage today, as we've read, is Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Which leads really to all the others, right? In 1 Timothy 5:17, Hebrews 13:17, it talks about church members submitting to the leadership, to elders, to pastors. But also in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, it talks about elders, leaders, also at times submitting to church members. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 directly says, young men, submit to older men, to those who are wiser, those who are above you. We're probably familiar with Ephesians. Ephesians 5 talks about wives, submit to your husbands, love, respect. But it also talks about husbands submitting, loving as Christ loved, giving up yourself to your wives. And again, Ephesians 6, children to parents. But interesting, Ephesians 6, 4, Colossians 3:21 talks about parents to children. And we see here servants, and we can bring it to our culture here of employees to our employers. That seems natural, right? But it also talks about, in Ephesians 6, 9 to Colossians 4, 1, of employers also at times submitting to employees. And of course, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2 talks about Christians submitting to their government, to the ruling body. Now, it's interesting, you know, everybody has different political, you know, maybe 4 years ago, you're like, I'm not going to submit. Maybe you didn't like Obama. 4 years later, some are saying, I'm not going to submit. I don't like Trump. But you know what? Doesn't matter who your president is or your congressman or whatever, God calls us to respect the authority that they are put in. Now, you've heard some of these, and you might be scratching your head. I never heard that. I'm not sure about that. Parents can submit to their kids. That's not biblical, is it? Well, I've done it often, and actually, if you think about it, if you have kids, you probably have as well. We've chosen to put the needs of our kids, their desires, above ours, right? Remember what the definition of submit is? To arrange or assign under. Anybody ever put your kids' needs above your own? When you did that, you submitted yourself to them. Not because you had to, not because they demanded you to, because you chose to. You submitted, giving up some things, maybe like extra work. You could have earned some extra money, worked more, but instead you chose to submit that. Submit to your kids and go to their ball game, go to their play, be at home with them. Maybe you chose to submit by not purchasing that new toy that you wanted, right? Whatever it is, it's different for each of us. Maybe it's a boat, maybe it's a new car, whatever, you know, that new video game. And you chose to put that underneath the needs of your kids because you realize that's something you wanted to do. You have every right to put yourself first in many ways in that situation, but you chose to submit, to put yourself under the needs of your children. They didn't demand it. They couldn't command it, but you chose to put their needs in front of your own. Sometimes it's hard to submit to those in authority, isn't it? I was an associate pastor for 17 years at Bethany Church. I was under the same senior pastor, great man, loved him, a lot of respect. But you know, there were times throughout those 17 years where there were decisions that were to be made, a direction that the church was going to go in that I didn't agree with. I didn't think, oh, that's not, I got a better idea, or I think it would work better this. But I submitted to that leadership. And I would voice my concern, or I'd voice my difference of opinion respectfully. But ultimately, I was in the position of submitting. But it's interesting, on the other side of that, there were quite a few other times in this whole process of decision-making where I would share with the senior pastor, I'd share with the leadership some ideas that I had, or maybe a tweak in the direction, and they would listen. And they said, you know what, yeah, I think that's a good direction. And then they would submit to my idea, my direction. But ultimately, as ones in authority, it was their decision to make. But I saw this give and take many times. Which brings us kind of to some practical application of what submitting looks like. I've already given you some examples, but let's look at it from another perspective. Turn, maybe for you, one page. I hope you have your Bibles, or maybe one swipe over, whichever, you know, if you're on your iPad or your phone or whatever, but to Philippians. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 5. We're going to look at Philippians the rest of this message here. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Let's start there. It says this. Paul writes to the church, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude, your way of thinking, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." These verses are followed, we're going to look in a few minutes, at verses 6 through 11 that give us, I believe, one of the most powerful pictures of submission, of what it means to submit to one another. We're going to see them in Jesus' life. But submitting to one another, first of all, is doing nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. When we submit, we can't do it unless we put aside selfish ambition, unless we put others' interests in front of our own. Even though we may be in a position, you may be in a position of God-given authority, submitting to others doesn't have to, it usually doesn't undermine your authority. Matter of fact, it does the opposite in those that maybe are underneath you, whether it's your family, whether it's somebody at work, whether it's somebody in the church. And that is when they see that you're putting their interests, they actually have more respect for you. And as a result, they're willing to submit to you even more. If you always have to win, if you always have to get your way in whatever relationship that you're in, you're never going to be able to submit to others. And it's going to be a lot harder for others to submit to you. Humility is a must to submit to one another. You know, my kids, when they were teenagers, like most teenagers, who love going to movies. And from when they were young, but especially when they were teenagers, they go on their own. Mel and I always saw it as our responsibility. We always say, you know what? We want to review what movie you're going to go see. We're still your parents. We still have authority over that. And so we would do that every time we look it up on a website. You know, what's in it? You know, is it decent? And there were a few times, not a lot, but there were a few times where we said, no, we're not going to allow you to watch that movie. And they weren't exactly happy all the time. It wasn't like, you know, they're like, woohoo, go to the movie I want to see. But every time I was proud of them, they submitted respectfully. And, you know, they didn't throw a fit for the most part, maybe one time. But I don't, it's gone now. My memory's gone of that. But they were actually very good about that. They humbled themselves, even though it wasn't easy. What else does submission look like? Well, it looks out for the interests of others. It looks to the interests of others. Verse 4, we see that. This command to submit to one another is a willingness to consider others as well as ourselves. And sometimes it says to consider others above ourselves. That's the whole idea, right, of submission. Now, it doesn't mean that we think less of ourselves, think, oh, I'm not that important. Oh, I'm just going to let everybody step on me and, you know, woe is me and everybody's better than I. That's not what he's talking about. That's usually not a problem. For some people it is, but it's usually not a problem. But rather, it's a commitment to live in relationships where we value one another and where getting our own way isn't the ultimate goal, but rather looking to the concerns, the interests, the desires of others as well. This is really the only way that you will choose to submit in your life is if you actually consider others and their values and concerns. Sometimes, actually, this can be somewhat humorous. At least it is in my marriage. There's times, actually, where Mel and I, especially like when we're deciding where we're going to go to eat or what movie we're going to go to, and we care about what the other person thinks, and so we kind of submit and say, you know, I respect, let's, you know, we'll go to a chick flick. No, we can go see this or whatever. Let's go to this restaurant. And we'll keep saying, no, you decide. No, you decide. No, you kind of get, you know, you ever done that? But now I have to admit, there are times, you know, that's the rare times, I guess. I got to admit, you know, there's other areas where we're not so submissive to one another, especially when it comes to football games and HGTV. But thank God we have two TVs, right? That's why God created two TVs. Each one of us, you know, find it difficult to submit, don't we? But ultimately, it's about, what is submission? It's about looking to Jesus. It's about desiring to have the same attitude and mindset as Jesus. That's what verse 5 says. See, you can be in a position of authority in your family and church, in our society, you can and still submit to one another. Jesus, think about this. Jesus, God, God in the flesh, God come from heaven. What did he do? Did he put his interests first? What was his ambition? To make this huge kingdom and make sure that everybody was following him and that he had this great name, that you know that I'm the Son of God? No. Ultimately, he submitted himself as a servant for us. See, that's what submitting looks like. It looks like Jesus. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence, out of worship, out of putting Christ first. Why do we want to learn how to submit to one another? It's easier just to do what I want. It's easier just to be selfish, to be dominant, to say, I'm in charge, whatever way that is. But it's a lot harder to seek to say, you know what, I want to see other relationships grow. I want to see the church grow and be healthy. Can you imagine if all of us here wanted to have our own way and every single one of us, you know, was against each other? Wouldn't be a very healthy church. Why do we do this? Why do we submit to one another? Well, out of reverence for Christ. Submission, again, is voluntary. It's not something that's forced. Now, sometimes people try to force it. No one has a right to force submission. Rather, it is a choice. It's done out of reverence. It's done out of love for Christ and for others. And Jesus is our greatest example. If you have a hard time with this, look to Jesus. Look here at verse 6 through 11. Look what Paul continues to write. This was actually, many believe it was a hymn or a song that was written, and it's written down here. It says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, something to be held on to, but rather he made himself, in a sense, nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Do you see some similar words we've been talking about? He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That word Lord is God, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, our example, became subject to us. He submitted himself to us. God put himself under us in a sense, right? Think about what Jesus did. He came in verse 6 through 8. It shows that he came in servant submission. Came as a servant. What does a servant do? Serves the needs of those around him. Jesus as a servant submitted himself to us. He humbled himself. Why? Or ultimately how? By going to the cross. By dying on the cross for us, for our sins. Think about how he submitted himself in many other ways. And think about the woman who was caught in adultery and how he, in essence, submitted to her and her needs. We think of the Gentile woman, a Gentile, and here he's a Jew, right? In that culture, a Jew was above a Gentile. That was the whole culture of every, and a Jewish man. And yet, what did he do? She begged that he would heal her demon-possessed daughter. And he did. Think about how he washed the feet of his disciples right the night before he went to be killed. What did he do? He submitted himself to washing their feet, all as an example to them and to us today. Powerful example of servant submission. So why should we submit to one another? Well, out of reverence, what does he say? What do you say in 5:21, Ephesians 5? Out of reverence for Christ. Out of worship, submission to Christ. Because he's our example. He's our example to follow. And because, interesting, as it ends here in Philippians, because it is pleasing to the Father. It is pleasing to the Father. We see in verse 9 through 11 that Jesus, as our ultimate example, it says that he was exalted. He received exaltation. It says, God exalted him to the highest place. You know, I believe that those in humility who submit to one another will be exalted. Many think, well, the road to submission means you're going down. It means that you're going to be at the bottom. God's economy is different. You ever seen that? God turns things upside down. He says, when you submit yourself, it's actually the road to the top. It's the road to exaltation. It's the road to being first in God's kingdom. That's crazy. Go out and tell somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that's just part of our culture, and they'll go, that's stupid. That's not true. But we see it over and over again. Matter of fact, Peter, in the midst of his discussion of submission in 1 Peter 5, he says this, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may, does anybody know? Lift you up in due time. That he may lift you up. We think submitting has to be at the bottom. It means you're at the bottom. Actually, it's not. It's the road to the top. It's the exaltation. It's the road to being first in God's kingdom. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you must be servant of all. One author stated this, talking about, you know, actually when we submit, we can be greatly used of God more than if we have an attitude that I know it all. He says this, one author said, one who emulates Jesus in humble submission will be set apart and as a result be able to speak into the lives of those around them. Be able to speak into the lives around them. Think of others that you know, friends, family, people that aren't selfish, people that actually put your needs first, who humble themselves. Do you want to hang around those kind of people that care about what you think? You should all be shaking your heads yes, unless you, you know, you don't like. Not only that, but then you're more willing to submit to them, aren't you? To somebody who is humble, who has interests, your interests in mind. You're willing to say, you know what? Yeah. I'm willing to submit to you as well. Mutual submission is God's way of nurturing harmony in a discordant world. It's his way of bringing unity to broken relationships. If you have a broken relationship, you always think, well, maybe the way of mending this is getting my way. Maybe the way is actually a way of submission. And ultimately, bringing love to a divided church. It's radical, but it's also very relevant. Some of you have been living that way, and you can understand that. Others of us maybe need to be challenged to consider, in what relationships do you need to improve on this area of submitting one to another? First area that many of us think of in our marriage, right? What does that look like? How can I submit one to another? Do you always have to get your way? Do you always have to be right? Whether you're husband or wife, doesn't matter. What about in other relationships? What in your family? As parents, are you domineering? Are you always putting the thumb down on your kids? Paul says, don't exasperate your kids. What about those of you who are still living with your parents? Are you willing to submit to their authority? What about at work? How do you treat? How do you react? How do you talk about your boss? Or maybe about your employees or about each other, you know, the other employees. Do you build up the atmosphere? Are you one who is willing to submit, to be humble, to put the interests of others? And lastly, certainly, what about brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? You know, how do we treat one another? How do we view the leadership? Are we willing to submit one to another? You know, as proud as I am to be an American, I love 4th of July, and we enjoyed that time, going to the St. Paul Rodeo and things like that. As proud as I am to be an American, that's not my first allegiance. And it shouldn't be yours either, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ. You see, my first allegiance is to Jesus and to his values, not to the American values, as many of them are very good, some of the best in the world, but my values are to be Christ's values. And out of reverence for Christ, I will seek to submit to one another. I hope that you will as well, as we learn together what it means to live for one another. And one of the ways we do that is by submitting one to another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And as we go through this series, Lord, man, listening to Scott's message last week about bearing with one another, now here of submitting with one another, I guess what you said is true, that we're to die to ourselves, because there's a lot of dying to ourselves. And that's not easy, but Lord, I pray you would give us strength. Give us that relationship with you, because we know we cannot submit to each other if we don't submit to you first. So Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't submitted their life to you, I pray that they would. They would admit their need for you, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would confess and ask you to be a part of their lives, submit their lives to you. But if there's, for those of us who have done that, Lord, help us to have that humility, to have that interest in others, to be willing to submit one to another. Lord, as we continue to worship you and in these songs, Lord, may the words of them penetrate our hearts. Not just know the familiarity to the songs, but Lord, may the words penetrate us. And may we worship you because of what you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen.